You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
It's the Score North Twin Show.
All right, Score North Extra Innings. I am live from Target Field right now. AJ Fredrickson's from home. I'm actually in a closet. Yes, I'm trapped in the closet right now at Target Field. Typically, for anyone who has seen a few of these other ones, I've been able to do these shows from the Legends Club. Today, I am doing this from a broom closet, so bear with me to a degree. We're still kind of working out some of the logistics before the games, but this is the Score North Extra Innings content here. My name is Declan Goff. That's AJ Fredrickson. You can expect content basically from every Twins home game for myself. The issue is the Twins haven't played that many home games due to off days and rainouts. I want to get into that here in just a little bit. But one of the benchmarks, AJ, I really want to get into at the start of each series at Target Field is what I call a vibe check. Now, I don't have to explain what a vibe check is to the kids like Judd Zolgad, so that's kind of nice. But just what are the vibes feeling like as the Twins enter a big series here against one of the best teams in baseball and the L.A. Dodgers? So let's kind of take a look at what's happening here. Obviously, the Dodgers are coming to town. Super exciting. You got Shohei. You have Mookie Betts. You have Freddie Freeman. You have the best lineup. You have the World Series favorite. That's just calling what it is. You have the World Series favorite basically here in Minneapolis. And I know right now things kind of feel like a little bit like they're puckering for the Twins, right? The runners in scoring position has been a problem. The starting pitching depth might be an issue. And there's been some small tinkers to the lineup and roster that I'll get to here on this episode. But it is hard to get into a routine when you've only played 7 games in 11 days. I'm not making excuses necessarily, but baseball is obviously an incredibly routine sport. The Twins have played 7. The Dodgers have played 12. Like they've played 5 more games than them throughout since the start of the year. And I know LA started in South Korea, but it's hard to get into routine. So, do I think the Twins are going to go out here and sweep the Dodgers? Certainly not. If they did, I'll gladly be wrong and wear my hat here or eat my hat from 48 hours from now. But I also believe if you can take 2 out of 3 from a World Series favorite like the Dodgers, you aren't going to be as puckering. You're not going to be as nervous. You're not going to be like looking around being like, oh, here we go again, another slow start to the season. In fact, I think if you take the series against the World Series favorite, AJ, I would say those vibes are pretty electric if you're able to do that.
Yeah, and this is a Dodgers team that actually just lost a series, their last one, to the Cubs. They took 1 out of 3 down at Wrigley Field. One of those, a shootout, essentially. It was a 9-7 final, and yesterday they were in a very lengthy rain delay that kind of threw the game off, and they just couldn't get their offense started really ever. So now they're going to come in. They're probably going to have this as a grudge series, essentially, for them, saying, we got to get right. But that being said, the Cubs didn't start all that hot to the year, and they kind of got right against the Dodgers. Why not the Twins? How about the Twins? You know, what a better time to do it. How about a better opponent? I can't think of one. Like you said, they are the, I think, runaway favorites, other than maybe like the Yankees with some of the additions they made this offseason with like Juan Soto. But it's a series that I think will be, it'll either expose a lot of the flaws and panics that Twins fans may have about this team, or patch things up, because the offense at times, we've seen them, they just can't put the bat on the ball with runners in scoring position. This is a series where I think that's do or die, because there's some teams you can maybe get away with that against, the Royals, the Guardians. You know, you could probably get a game by not being able to knock in however many guys. You strain a lot of guys on base. The Dodgers are going to make you pay. That lineup top to bottom is essentially an all-star team for most divisions. So this is a series that I think is going to be very telling for the Twins. Why not just start with a nice performance today at home?
Yeah, no kidding. And Rocco mentioned towards the end of his availability today, pregame, that a lot of the players did stick around despite the rainout yesterday to work on things and whatnot. So they're well aware of it. And I talked about this with Mackie and Judd on the full episode that we had that's also on the feeds right now from this morning on Monday morning. We're recording this on Monday afternoon at about 4:30, that they're going to take their walks, the Twins lineup is. They're going to do whatever they can to still work a lot of counts and do everything to basically make pitchers work, but they've struggled in runners in scoring position. You know, they have the two hits on Saturday, but they have go 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position to show for it. You'd like to think that the dam's going to break and maybe the floodgates open against a really good Dodgers team. And James Paxton's on the mound, certainly not their number one option, but still, you'd like to get a tone-setting win here. Now, I did mention, Age, that there was some brief roster adjustments, so Jose Miranda has been recalled from St. Paul. Jose had a pretty terrific 2022 season. Last year was ineffective to start. Then he has a shoulder injury. It kind of like wiped away a lot of 2023 for him, and it just wasn't a positive year. Today in the lineup, he's batting fifth. So he's batting fifth in the lineup today. We'll see what he's able to do. You know, Rocco did allude to the fact, I found this a little interesting, that he is not the everyday third baseman. So if you're expecting Jose Miranda to like be batting fifth and be the everyday third baseman, because you've got to remember Royce Lewis is still injured, I wouldn't expect that. This might be a guy that DHs. This could be a guy that spells some time at first base as well. But he certainly won't be the everyday for third baseman. But I did like this quote from Rocco kind of talking about what would Jose Miranda be able to bring to the Twins. And he mentioned that he gets the pitches up in the zone. He gets the pitches down in the zone. He can shorten the swing and manipulate the barrel. What that tells me, Age, is that's not a guy who's going to go up there and work counts and try to look for walks like this team does from an approach-wise. This guy's in the lineup to drive in some runs and hopefully spark something for a team that just can't seem to drive in a run with scoring position.
And they need a guy like that. You know, if you come in, you're kind of the fresh face in the clubhouse now after getting that call up. If he wants to pull him aside and say, hey, you're here to hit the ball. Like, I'd go out, do your approach, and try to find the Jose Miranda we saw circa 2022. You know, like you said, 2023 was a down year for him. He battled some stuff personally with injury and everything like that. But this could be a nice little coming out party. And you're right, he's not going to be the everyday third baseman. He's not going to be the guy that you kind of look to as like a automatic write-in on that that lineup card. But he could earn it. I mean,
right.
He's a guy that certainly can earn it, because we've seen Jose Miranda have the skill set, have the batting prowess to be able to be a guy that is a, you know what, he's gonna win a matchup against the starting pitcher. He's a guy that matches up very well. And to your point, you mentioned James Paxton on the bump today for the Dodgers. I think that's a guy to do it. The Twins are going to be pretty fortunate in this series, because they should miss Yamamoto, who started, I want to say, yesterday against the Cubs. So they're going to dodge kind of the ace, so to speak. And I say that lightly, because the Dodgers seem to have a couple aces in their rotation. But kind of the flashy name that they signed this year. So Jose Miranda, addition to the lineup, I like it. That call-up, I think, says we clearly address that there's an issue with our hitting through the first, like you said, seven games only in 11 days. So let's see if a guy like Jose Miranda can maybe spice that up and get some bats waking up.
So also, by the way, and again, we're recording this before first pitch, about 2 hours before first pitch. So we won't get into too many things like game preview stuff necessarily, just because obviously we're going to get a little bit of burned out there. But I did find this interesting. So Manuel Margot will bat leadoff. There's no left-handers in the lineup against the lefty in James Paxton. You did see Rocco use Max Kepler a lot still as a lefty against left-handed pitchers throughout last season. You saw it already a few times in 2024. They elect to go all right-handed here to start. That part's interesting. And also just having someone like Jose Miranda basically come in here and bat fifth, you know, who was playing in St. Paul just not too long ago, I think that says that, okay, we've had a week here, and yes, we haven't found the consistency that we want to get in our approach and our routine, but we're going to make some slight tweaks here. And getting Margot at leadoff, and he'll play right field in the first game of the series, I think that says that they want to change things up a little bit and putting Jose Miranda there as well. You know, I Carlos Correa held some court in the locker room before with some reporters, and he didn't seem frustrated necessarily, but you can tell that with the way they're going about things, that eventually the runs are going to come, and it's a 162 baseball game series season, so you're not going to get all the runs right away. You're going to fail us runners in scoring position. So, again, I don't sense like that panic by the roster. I don't sense that panic from Rocco Baldelli. This is just a team that wants to get in a rhythm here, and they'll have three against the Dodgers. They're going to play the Detroit Tigers on the road after this homestand ends, and I think, you know, by the vibe check of next week, we'll kind of be able to figure out really where this team is at a couple weeks into the year.
And I don't want to put you on the spot here, so apologies if you don't have this information present, but with how hot of a guy like Alex Kirilloff has been to start this season, and I understand the matchups. It's a lefty in Paxton, and you want to avoid some of those lefty-lefty matchups, but first, a matchup today like you have with Byron Buxton and Carlos Correa, that's, I mean, this is for them. How easy or maybe just tough of a decision was it to mull over for Rocco to probably say, you know what, Kirilov's going to sit today. He's not going to get in that starting lineup. Maybe we go to him later with some bullpen changes, but he's not in our starting lineup to begin the game.
Yeah, I think that's good. You know, look, Kirilov's sitting the cover off the ball, so I'm not denying to say, like, it's good to sit your best hitter or second best hitter that's on your team right now. But he's probably going to for sure get a pinch hit opportunity if the Dodgers do go to the bullpen. And that's kind of the luxury, I will say it kind of lightly, of having such a left-handed option that the Twins have. That, yes, they always are going to bop and they're going to have a lot of good players in the lineup against righties. But once that bullpen gets going and, you know, you have a matchup that's heading your way and maybe Pax is not as effective and you have to bring in a reliever and you're still going to get someone on base, calling upon Alex Kirilov, you know, to hit for... let's say it's Austin Martin who's in the lineup on Monday batting ninth. Like, having the luxury of those lefties there is going to be good, so they'll still turn to their bench, and the Twins have made it abundantly clear how much they do believe and love platooning. So I would envision that's still going to be just okay. You know, you mentioned things about the plate, and I was able to catch up with Edward Julian in the locker room to ask him about the approach, because we've pontificated, and Justin Morneau made a point on the broadcast during the opening series about, you know, some of these guys like Julian and Wallner and Kirilov, to a degree, a lot of them got used to the automated strike zone in the minor leagues, and that is nice, but how do you make that adjustment to the major league level? Does that make that transition easier? Does it make it harder? And I was able to kind of ask Julian basically the same question now that he's been up for a little bit, and, you know, he told me that it's the same thing, and he doesn't really care what the strike zone is behind there, but he tries to go out with the same approach, and that's hit the pitch that he can drive and try to take a pitch that's a ball, of course. And I followed up with, well, you know, if you have a runner on versus, you know, leading off an inning like Julian typically is a leadoff man, you know, does the approach change? And he said he tries to be a little bit more aggressive early in the count because he knows that guy's not going to want to try to walk him, obviously, with runners in scoring position. And, you know, Julian's had more than a few strikeout lookings for this year, and that's been kind of puzzling for a guy that has such a good eye at the plate. And I don't sense, again, that's a guy that's going to completely rip off his new routine, but he is probably someone that if he does come up with runners in scoring position, maybe it's a pinch hitting opportunity on Monday or just throughout the season in general, probably look for him to speed more first and second pitch swinging than trying to find the perfect pitch, you know, five or six into the at-bat. By that point, you have two strikes. It makes life difficult. So I think these guys are well aware of eventually these runs are going to come, and there'll be some slight tweaks that happen throughout early on in the baseball season, but I don't think this is a start from scratch, fire everybody, fire David Popkins situation that some fans kind of make it out to be.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
No, and that's the thing. It's just so frustrating because as much as I think you, myself, fans want to maybe like jump the gun and like point the finger and say like, hey, this is written in red ink on the wall. Like, we know that he needs to swing the bat more and stuff. It's so early in the season where some of these guys, like you said, they're kind of working with newer approach. They're still like, you can do all you want in spring training. You can kind of test things out, but it's different once you actually get to Target Field, and now it's past opening day. Now you're trying to find, like you said, you're trying to find that groove. So if he has a newer approach, I'm sure they'll tweak. I'm sure they'll kind of mix things up and whatnot. But when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, I know a lot of fans are going to say, hey, Edward Julian, you're going to have to start probably putting the bat on the ball, swinging. I think that's where it comes down to, is like, would you rather him go back to the dugout looking at a pitch or swinging? I would say swinging, because that means you at least thought it, and that's, you know, one conversation to another, because you see a educated swing where you think you have a beat on the ball, and then you have a Javi Baez swing and miss and a ball that's down in Tuscaloosa, and it's like, okay, you know, why would you even consider getting the bat off the shoulders there? So but Edward Julian, I think, in his short tenure in the major leagues, has shown that he's a good contact hitter. He's a guy that can put the bat on the ball. So if he takes that chance, it's probably more than not, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. If he saw something like, he expected something like, or like you said, he's looking for a certain pitch early in an at bat to where he's reading a situation and trying to scratch a run across if somebody's on base.
A couple other roster notes that I noticed today that are worth sharing. So Jorge Alcala, there was like this little confusion on Saturday's game about, you know, was it Alcala about to come in? Was it Jay Jackson? Was it Griffin Jackson? Then was there an injury? What the heck? There was some confusion towards the end. Well, it turns out Jorge Alcala told Rocco right near the end of his appearance that something didn't feel right. So he said, I probably shouldn't go out there and pitch if I don't feel right, obviously. So that elected why Jay Jackson got out there. No IL stint quite yet for Alcala. They haven't heard really what's wrong. I think they rested on Sunday with the rain out. He'll probably not pitch at all today. They're already kind of short in arm because they already just placed Daniel Durante on the IL. That's why they called up Jose Miranda. So they are a pitcher short. And hell, they might be more like two pitchers short for today if you really factor in that part. So a shorter bullpen today most likely, and maybe some positive news with Alcala, but probably crossing your fingers. And unfortunately, a lot of these pitchers in baseball, and this isn't just a Twins problem, are kind of dropping like flies a little bit. So hopefully Jorge Alcala is okay. We'll see what happens there. He's had a ton of injury problems, and you'd like to think that eventually he's been healthy and he looked like he was in spring, and there was a lot of encouraging factors that I noticed in just a few outings that he had in 2024. But a little update from the clubhouse there on Jorge Alcala.
Yeah, and how about a blow for that bullpen too? I mean, you start the year, you already have Duran no longer. You know, he's not with the active club, so he starts the year on the IL. Alcala, and I know you were relatively high on Alcala prior to opening day too, about a guy who could probably play a significant role later in the season if he kind of hits his stride and starts, you know, hitting pitches and whatnot. But for a bullpen that I think was touted as, you know, up there in the echelon of higher talented bullpens in the league, something that this team should be able to rely on a lot of the time, it's tough because now you're already shorthanded. It's like it's similar to watching the Wild maybe start the game and like, hey, Kirill Kaprizov is going to trip somebody in the first minute, and all of a sudden, hey, you're starting kind of behind the eight ball. So now that puts even pressure on, like you said at the top of the show, kind of the depth at starting pitcher has been questionable to start the season. That puts more pressure on those guys to have a quality outing, so that you don't have to go into that bullpen to where now in a series that's very important at this stage of the year, just to kind of get right for the Twins against the Dodgers, you're going to need a quality outing from your starters here so you don't have tired bullpen arms here for the next couple of days against a top team in the league.
And the good news is guys like Theobar, Topa, Duran, they are progressing. They began to throw a little bit. They began some rehab process that are signs that are pointing upward to their return to the Twins. So hopefully they'll get some good news on them too as the week progresses. So yeah, you might be down Alcala, but maybe you get guy like Theobar, Topa, or Duran obviously back. Good problems to have there. One last thing, because I asked Jose Miranda this because I did spot him last summer, I believe, at an episode of Monday Night Raw. I'm a big wrestling fan. Age is a big wrestling fan. We could certainly talk about WrestleMania for hours. We will not do that to the audience. But I asked Jose, I was like, did you have a WrestleMania takeaway? And he goes, oh, you know, actually, I'm not a big wrestling guy. Like, I think it's interesting and fun. And he said that he went to his first Raw last year when it was here in August, and he had a blast. And I asked Royce Lewis the same thing. No. So I'm on a mission to try to find which Twins player I can attach my ridiculous wrestling takes to. I know that's very self-serving, but trying to find some WrestleMania takeaways, man. It's the Super Bowl of WWE, and I was hoping there'd be some Twins player to give me some type of note.
I bet you got to find a pitcher. It's not gonna be a player in the field. It's gonna be
okay.
I bet you it's a bullpen arm. I feel like they're a little quirky, similar to like in hockey. Not to go back to it again, but like the goalies are always a little
right.
You know, little something's loose up there. I feel like that's the same thing with like a closer or some like middle reliever.
Yeah,
I got a feeling they'll gravitate a little bit more. So if you want your if you want to sniff around a little bit for your wrestling guys, I bet you the bullpen's where to
be. Okay. Yeah, I'll still press on that a little bit, try to figure out where that is. Hey, this is Score North Twin Show Extra Innings content. We'll be live before games and when they're night games here on the Score North YouTube channel, and then digestible on the podcast feed. And then for day games, you can expect content shortly after the final out, about a half hour, 45 minutes or so after post-game access. That's kind of the plan for Extra Innings. I know some people have been still asking, are you going to go live after night games? Probably not going to do that so much this year. There'll be content that is evergreen going into the game. And then for day games, you can expect content in a traditional kind of post-game show right here with a roving cast of characters. Shout out to everyone who has helped us get over nearly 2,500 subscribers on YouTube. We really appreciate that. The more people that like, the more people that subscribe, give us a 5-star rating on the audio side of Apple, Spotify, Score North app. helps kind of spread the word. So we appreciate that for everyone who's been able to do so. Again, hit that subscribe button. My name's Declan Goff. That's AJ Fredrickson. This has been Score North Extra Inning Content.